All right. I always have to say all right. I'll find a different way to begin this. Reckoning Podcast, interview time. I'm here with Cameron Taylor, fellow Irving boy.
That's right.
I was also born in Irving, for anybody that cares. but you are here because longtime buddy, fellow Irving boy, but you are also the singer of the band Secret of Boris, who I've known about for many, many years. Because the Secret of Boris, did it start out like all Irving guys? Is that kind of how it started?
Well, remember, it started with the band Lame.
That's right, Lame.
Yes, and Lame, all those guys are from Irving.
How many of them are still in SOB?
From Lame?
Yeah, one. You?
Who left for a while? No. Oh. So I guess two. I was thinking, aside from me, one left for a little bit and then is now back. So now we have two from the original Lame that everyone, you know, that people might remember. Lame actually started in a garage, as most bands do. And then we graduated to a living room.
All right, yeah.
And then we got kicked out of the living room after about 6 months of that, when the bass player's mom got tired of it. And then finally graduated to a rehearsal hall. And things kind of evolved from there. So the original bass player and one of the guitar players and I were all from Irving High. And then our guitar player, we got a second guitar player that was from Nimitz, which just down the street. And then he brought along his, at the time, his drummer in his own band who played keyboards for us. So it was very Irving centric.
Nobody from my alma mater, MacArthur?
No Mac people until many years later.
Nobody cool enough north of 183, I guess.
Oh, we didn't know what that was. No.
We did have a band at
South
MacArthur.
South Side all the way.
This one guy that played in my chemistry class. I honestly do not remember the name. It's pointless bringing it up. But I think they covered a Deftones song at our talent show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So,
never heard that before.
Yeah. So for lack of a better term, y'all are, would you say new metal, alt metal? I mean, that those kind of
I would say the same thing
these days.
Well,
it's a nicer way of saying new metal if you say like alt metal.
Okay, first of all, there is nothing wrong with the term new metal.
Absolutely, right? I agree.
Certainly, you know, when it was kind of dying off and being replaced by, oh God, what came next? I guess in the metal world, it was metalcore, and all that. But
I trace it all back to the second stage of Ozfest, because you had all of these, you know, just a lot of just decent to good to decent to absolutely shitty new metal bands that just got a contract and put out a label, and then their CD was on an end cap at a record store, and then they're on second stage of Ozfest.
Right.
But then slowly they realized, oh, this doesn't have the traction that it used to be, because new metal it came in so hot, it burned so hot so quick. You know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then they're like, oh, this metalcore thing kind of has more life to it, I guess, for filling up the second stage of Ozfest. That's the way I kind of look at, you know, like the new metal to metalcore, you know, transition.
Sure.
And
well, think about it this way. You know, you had the grunge and alternative in the early 90s, and then this kind of weird middle ground in the middle of the 90s with industrial, namely Nine Inch Nails, who were of course inspired by Ministry and Skinny Puppy and all that stuff, and you had Stabbing Westward and Gravity Kills, and that kind of stuff was kind of in the middle there. But there was something brewing underneath that was underground, and that was, you know, yes, if I say Korn, there will be many different reactions today, but in 1994, no one who knew who that was.
Yeah, right. Their own tour was Sick of It All.
Of course,
one of my favorite all-time, you know, hardcore punk bands.
So that was 94. That record came out, and so for several years in the mid 90s, there was something happening and something brewing, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight, TRL and things like that. It was everywhere, and so yes, to your point, it did come in seemingly very strong, but it had been brewing in the underground for a long time, and then as things that get too big, they burn out. It runs its course. And like you were saying, you know, by the end of it, it's like, okay, we need something else. And with the metalcore stuff, you know, I think people were wanting to go back to more musicianship, as it were. Not that nu metal doesn't have its own place, but actual technical kind of music writing. And
less Crazy Town, more.
Okay, now see, there you go.
I'll drop this. Less Crazy Town, more Apex Theory. Do you remember that band at all?
Of course.
Yeah. Bum, diddy, bum, diddy. Like,
Apex that was, Theory was great.
Like, there was some. What sucked is, again, without doing the hard math, I want to say that around that time, late 90s, early 2000s, Second Stage Ozfest, the worst. You had your top tier, your Korn, Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park. And then you had
Deftones, as you mentioned.
Deftones, which what's great is they stand the test of time. They're kind of like, yeah, you lumped us in with nu metal, but guess what? We've been pumping out albums still, and we're more, you know, introduced to this like shoegazy kind of feel to our, you know, to our music. And everyone's just kind of like, oh, so the nu metal label was slowly like faded away with them. What sucks is so many nu metal, the worst, I want to say 90% of the nu metal bands that got some kind of like notoriety just sucked. And that what sucked is that kind of overshadowed the really good, talented nu metal bands that were doing something very unique. That's, you know, with maybe the new can be shoved into the world in the word unique somehow. But it was like very creative. When you found the really 100%. Good ones, it was very creative. And, you know, especially, you know, System of a Down, you know, just, you know, as much as maybe you could throw the label on them.
American Head Charge.
Yeah.
Pulse Ultra.
I can go down.
Yeah.
I remember
all those things.
Pressure. Well, maybe not. I just throwing out the name Pressure 4-5.
I do remember that band.
I just remember the one song, Beat the World. That's all they.
But I mean, listen, of course, things that get too big get a bad rap after a while. But then you see this new crop of new metal bands coming back. And that not only that, but this new, not coming back, but coming up. And not only that, but this kind of newfound appreciation for what was going on there, because it wasn't shoved in their face.
Yeah. I fucking love Limp Bizkit.
Exactly.
And then, which you guys have never strayed from, you know, loving Limp Bizkit, because Secret of Boris also does a Limp Bizkit cover set.
Tribute.
Tribute. There you go. Sorry. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So how did, all right, we went from Lame to Secret of Boris. I want to say I asked this at some point to somebody.
As a cap, just real quick. Yeah. You asked the genre. I would say industrial nu metal.
There you go.
Because we're kind of influenced by both. And by the way, I hate these labels.
I know.
The labels are there because journalists and reviewers and things like that, they need something to categorize you.
Yeah.
And
I see why they help, but eventually they hurt.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's like word constraints in your article. Right. So you're just going to throw nu metal on it, and you're like,
sure, because we're not industrial enough for the real industrial fans. You know, they would get really upset if we claim that. But then we love that stuff, and we have
less
a lot
energy.
Of that. We have a lot of that stuff in our music.
Sorry.
And you know, sure, we're influenced by a lot of those bands from that nu metal era. But you know, we like all kinds of stuff. You know. So.
And I think that's what, you know, you're really good, talented, even like Korn, which I, you know, definitely can't. I can listen to some Limp Bizkit today and have a good time. But Korn, I just, I draw not the hardest of lines, but Korn, I'm just like, all right, if it's playing in the background, whatever. But I won't listen to Korn on my own time. I'll listen to Limp Bizkit, but Korn,
well, nobody's perfect.
I know. I'm sorry. But I can't, like, I won't shit on Korn because that shit's creative. And especially when you look at 94, the self-titled, holy shit, nothing sounded like that.
Yeah. No.
And so I'm like, I will always, you know, compliment them or whatever, but about having a unique
commend
scent.
Them, maybe.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. But how did Secret of Boris, what's behind that name?
So the
I'm sorry to ask if it actually is a secret.
Well, that is usually my blanket response.
Yes, that's
sorry,
what
that's
I've
a secret.
Heard before. Right. It's a secret. Okay.
I know. I mean, listen.
If it's just a name, that's fine. It's just a name.
It's sort of just a name, but no, it's so I was writing our guitar player Paragraph brought us a song. And I guess it was inspired by Secret of Mana, the video game. He heard something in there, and then it inspired him. And we were still called Lame at the time. And he brought us this song. It's like, this is called Secret of Boris. I'm like, who is Boris? And it was his cat.
His cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his name was, I don't remember the entire name of the cat's name, but it was several names and one of them was Boris. So he just called it that. And so I kind of took that and went, okay, well, that's fun. Whatever. I mean, working titles, that always happens. Mm. Usually you got to name a song something and you just go, I don't know, Blanket. Okay, this song's called Blanket now. Like the song Waffle from Seven Dust, you know? Mm. That was a working title, and they just kept it.
Okay. Yeah, it always and that's a band that's come through so many times, but I've never seen them live. But
what?
I know. I'm like, they play Trees like three times a year. You think I could have seen them by now?
You should.
But their second album,
Home.
Home. Is either that or was Animosity the next one?
That was third, yeah.
So it was either Home or Animosity. That's I listened to that twice through my sister's college graduation mm-hmm. because my parents and grandparents got like the seats on the floor of the gym and I was relegated to the bleachers. And I had my CD Walkman at the time, and right. that was the album I had with me. I can only carry probably one or two CDs, but right. I was like, you know, this is just what's. And I listened to that twice through. That whichever one has, and again, a band I ever checked out. There's guest vocals by a lady who fronted the band Skunk Anansie.
Skunk Anansie.
There
yeah.
you go. Whatever Skin. Album has that song on there.
That was Home.
That was Home. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So yeah, that's right. Because I never had. The self-title.
Okay.
With Black, you know, which...
Right, right.
Which is funny, the Rangers broadcast, the radio broadcast, when they're coming in, you know, back into the game from a commercial, mm-hmm. they will play that epic fucking beginning of Black with that, you know, guitar, you know...
Yeah.
Thing. That or the beginning of Got the Life by Korn.
Oh, just, all right, just, Rangers, come on.
Yeah, I want to find out... And hopefully through these podcast ventures, I want to find out whose decision it was to put those in there. I'm like, somebody at some point was just like, oh, this would be good, you know, segue music back into the game. Mm-hmm. And but that guitar effect for Black is just, I can only imagine cool. how the crowd reacts when they hear that going.
Oh, it's amazing. And yeah.
But that's a band, like, I don't know what Seven Dust is, but that is a fucking phenomenal band.
it's Rat Poison.
Okay, it yeah. sounds like a drug in a sci-fi movie.
No, it's
like, like in the Dread, you know, movie.
Right. Like the villain.
Yeah. Or no, or a villain name or the drug that they sell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got any more of that Seven
yeah,
Dust?
Yeah, I want Seven Dust. Yeah, yeah.
I do. I want to see the future.
I think you're confusing it with Angel Dust, but... yeah.
Which is also a band name, but...
Right. And a Faith No More record.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's... God. But we digress.
Yeah.
What was your question?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, great.
Oh, Secret or Boy. Okay, well, we got that. Yeah, we got
so,
that.
Okay, so, he brought that song, and then I had a story that I wanted to tell, and, you know, I just told the story, but instead of the person's name, I just kept it as Boris.
Okay.
You know, it is a secret of someone. And by the way, that song ended up becoming What Have You Done? Off of Your Ghost.
Okay.
So that's kind of the, and that also leads into when we changed the name from Lame to Secret of Boris. So I was like, I don't want to, you know, no disrespect to Snot or, you know, any other band that has a song that is also their band name, but I didn't want that. So I said, well, okay, if we're going to call the band Secret of Boris, I got to change the name of the song. But that is essentially the catalyst for all of this stuff.
Speaking of Snot, I always thought, They never sound like a new metal band to me. They sounded more like a, I guess pun intended, a snotty hardcore punk band.
Well, sure. I mean, that's kind of the thing about new metal. When people think of new metal, they think about the latest years or the last years, like the nails in the coffins that were coming out. But a lot of the stuff, as we mentioned, Deftones and even System, you know, there were elements of all those things, but none of those bands really sounded like each other.
Yeah, and that's what's ultimately great about nu metal is, you know, unless you're obviously ripping off a prominent band, like
sure.
then you could hear that. But
I mean, bands like Spineshank and Ultraspank, you know, they had those industrial and electronic elements, you know, all that stuff was so. To me, inventive and creative, and then it, you know, inevitably it ends up with homogenous kind of sounding things and everything is all.
To me, like I've listened when I segue, you know, I got into new metal and then found metalcore and hardcore and just spacey post metal and all the shit I like listening to now. A lot to new metal's credit, so many of those bands sounded very unique, and you can find a dime a dozen hardcore metalcore sounding bands that you someone that likes to listen to like regular metal or something, they can't tell anybody apart.
Sure.
So many of those bands sound a lot like oh, we got the all right, we got the Breakdown, you know,
the
obvious Breakdown. Yeah. Which to me, I fucking love a good Breakdown.
Love a Breakdown. Are you kidding? It's amazing.
And I do like that. I think is disconnected, I would say, from modern metalcore or new metal, for lack of a better term. Obviously, I think what new metal has done these days, it's like, all right, we're still playing this creative brand of metal, new metal, but hey, we're going to throw in some breakdowns for those guys that love some harder shit, but right. we're not fucking just all breakdowns and, you know, maybe a chorus or something, but we're going to throw a breakdown in at the end of the song or, yes, you know, halfway through, which the new song, which I listened to yesterday, This Is What You Get.
Or, This Is What We Get.
Like that, I could tell at the very end. I'm like, okay, yeah, you give them a little fan service at the end. Like, here's your breakdown, assholes. Here you go. And I was just kind of like, I knew it. All right. I get it. You're singing, you're screaming. Yeah. And you're throwing the breakdown for shitheads like me.
Oh, listen, no, we did it for us. I mean, I'm glad you enjoy it, but, you know.
But yeah, that's absolutely not what your band is for. Like, we're not just throwing out breakdowns all the fucking time, which, to me, that's what made me listen to other kinds of music, because I'm like, all right, I'm tired of the breakdowns. Like, oh, I fucking loved it when I loved it. Give me all the break. Hey, Brie, give me all your breakdowns. Unearth, give me all your breakdowns. And then eventually I just got tired of it. Mm. But, and again, because that was the entire genre, it was just, well, it was a breakdown all galore, maybe a solo. But new metal is just kind of like, we know what you like, but hey, we're singing a song here, but we're going to throw in the breakdowns.
Well, right. Time. I mean, and I'm so big on songwriting. You know, I am not the greatest guitar player. I'm not the greatest vocalist. I'm really not the greatest at anything. But I do love putting a song together that hopefully people can latch on to. They remember something about it. You know, you can never predict that, but hopefully it's there. And then, yeah, if we feel like getting really heavy and doing a breakdown, then we're going to do it.
Because
who gives a shit? We just feel it. Like, you know what this part needs? Nothing except for big guitars, pause, you know, maybe a little scream here, you know,
it's double bass.
I love that stuff. I love the creative process like that. And you know, I'm glad you brought up this new song. You know, this is the second that we've released off this new record, and we're just going to keep releasing songs. And the next one's going to be a little different, and the next one will be a little different. And
you have a title for the album? Or
yeah, we do.
Are you saying it yet or not?
Not quite yet.
Oh, no, totally fine. I didn't know how far in the promotional process you might be. Is this y'all's like second album? Or at least what I just saw on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because you have Your Ghost, which came out so many years ago.
Yeah, we did the big release of Your Ghost in 2015 with Cabo Records. And then once we parted ways with them, amicably, it's all good. We're still friends with those guys. We went in to record a couple songs once Paragraph came back into the band, and we recorded Make It Out and then Don't Mention Love. And the idea was, okay, well, we got these two singles, as it were, and then we got Kevin in the band as a bass player. We said, okay, let's pick three songs and we'll go in and record. And then the idea was, when we can and when we have the songs ready and when financially we're ready, we'll go back in and we'll record a few more, and we'll do that a few times, and then now we have our next album. And then COVID hit, and, well, nothing is happening anywhere. So we're sitting on these songs, and
like, even the rehearsal space
is
inaccessible.
I mean, right.
Speaking of, we are in pro-rehearsal. I was at a rehearsal space on Saturday doing a podcast. I love how inconspicuous rehearsal spaces are.
Of course.
They kind of need to be, because you have, again, you got locks on doors here. I get that. But you also have some thousands of dollars of equipment in each room here. So it's not like you have a giant billboard just like, come here.
Yeah.
Like,
here's everybody's stuff.
When I first had to find the location here, because, you know, I was invited to come hang out because there's like a party here, which I assume the parties can happen organically on the drop of a dime here, because you just have a bunch of, you know, metalheads practicing, drinking, just having
really
a great
all
time.
Kinds of musicians. But okay, yeah, you know.
But like first coming here, I drove past it probably three times. I'm like, where the fuck is this place? I was like, oh, there.
Right.
And then you walk in, because I'd never been to a rehearsal space before, but I've always loved the inconspicuousness of it, but also just like you come here and rehearse, but also you got friends everywhere.
Yeah.
It's maybe kind of what I get at a comedy show, comedy open mic, but not that this seems like such a better time.
Well, I suppose...
Because you know who's going to be here.
Right. And not only that, I suppose at an open mic, you know, everyone is still in a way sort of in competition with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And at a show, that's kind of like that. Even if we're friends with the other bands, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's friendly when you're off stage. When you're on stage, I don't give a fuck.
It's your fucking time to shine.
That's right. And everybody else can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as we're done, you're like, hey, man, what's up?
And you're like, follow that.
But, yeah. Or, sorry, you know. But... when you're in a rehearsal space, everyone is feeling the same things. They could be feeling a few of the same things. Either they're all jacked up because you're on the cusp of something that you just wrote this great riff or this great song, or you just had this breakthrough, or you're just having this breakdown because nothing is working and everyone's fighting. But on any level, you can relate to each other here in this environment. And I love it. It's kind of like our country club.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that. Because you do pay a fee.
Oh, yeah. It's not free.
People like me that just, you know, like, hey, we're having a bro down
right.
at pro rehearsal. And I'm just like, cool. I'm like, this place is great. Now realizing, oh, y'all pay the rent here.
That's right. By the I'm way, I'll send you an invoice when we're done with this.
Oh, okay. Good. You were in our space for an hour plus.
That's right.
It's been prorated to you. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Also the whiskey. I measure the bottles.
Oh, yeah.
But when I first came to rehearsal space, I'm just like, oh, you guys got alcohol and weed. Oh, my God. This is just a party. Not realizing you guys actually need to accomplish something here at some point in time. But to me, I was just like, these guys just, you know, obviously I knew you paid rent, but I'm like, these guys just go with this party hangout. It was such a whole new world to me because I've, you know, saw plenty of bands. I have no idea the first time I walked onto this premise. Pretty sure there's like a party going on for there's some dude always had Jared or there's some guy that always had like a birthday party here.
Oh, Jermaine,
yeah, man, who I met Jermaine. Maybe a couple of times, but it was always like, you know, I get an invite from somebody, probably Regis, who's like, hey, come up, we're partying at Pro's, Jermaine's birthday. I was like, okay, or Nick would tell me about it, and just walking up here, I was like, oh, this makes comedy hangouts look like shit, which they mostly are anyways. But everybody here kind of has like, I can spark up a music conversation with fucking anybody and we're drinking, having a good time.
Right.
And I was like, it's almost like being at a show. And it kind of is, because off in the, you know, corner, there's bands playing, like actually playing for who wants to see it, not just rehearsing.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the last times I was here, I was like, I asked you, I was just like, hey, can I kind of fulfill a weird dream? Can I do some comedy? Because these are my fucking people. And I'd love to do some comedy for these fucking people.
Yeah, right.
Because there might be one in the crowd at a regular comedy show, but I'm like, this is my potential future demographic. Can I just do some time? And like you listened to me on how like you intro'd me, which was great before y'all played. And it was fucking phenomenal. I probably did like, I don't know, like 15 minutes or something. But it was great because it was like, I have so much in common with these people. And it's not like my jokes were about nu metal or something, maybe a little bit. But I'm like, I've known for a long time. I'm like, I know the kind of people I want to come see me at a show. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I have to do the work to do that, which is part of this podcast. And, you know, I'm just trying to siphon off your potential fans to maybe come see me when you guys aren't playing or their favorite bands aren't playing.
Well, come on. Go see Brian Breckenridge.
I want to be Brian Posehn, but skew more like, hey, do you like Converge?
There you go. Yeah.
Then come see my stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Which I like. I get it. Yeah. We like a lot of the same bands and Converge isn't funny, but I know you like to laugh. You have to like to laugh. You can't just be sad and angry all the time.
Right.
Come see me. But it was just, instead of just marketing to people at that show, which would be weird, but I'm not above it. Yeah, but you letting me do comedy at that party, or probably Jermaine's thing, it was so fun, because I was like, these are my people. Like, it was like, these are my fucking people. And I want to do. Also, they're not expecting a stand-up comedy set tonight.
Of course,
they're here to see you guys play and the other bands play, and you know, at the place that they, you know, probably their second home. But I had to fulfill that little micro dream of mine. Just kind of like, I gotta do it, and you let me. I thank you again for that. It was so fun.
Oh yeah, man, my pleasure. I mean, listen, I love stuff like that, because, you know, it's one thing, you book a show and you're like, okay, who are we going to have on this, or who would we like to play with? And, you know, we don't always have that carte blanche, as you will. But, you know, what you're doing is art, and I just like collaborating with other artists. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, like us sitting here doing this, you're from the comic world, I'm from the music world. But they certainly, you know, intertwine. And anyone who is trying to do something that hasn't been done before, you know, it's like you take, for you, I'm imagining, you may write a joke. Well, that joke didn't exist before you came up with it, right? Like, I might write a song. Well, that song wasn't here before.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing about being an artist is that you spend all this time and you're like, oh my God. This thing just came from, I don't know where it came from. Did it come from inside? Did it come from the universe? Did it come from my brain? Whatever it is. And then you show it to someone. And then they say, the first thing they say is, well, what if you change this? And you're like, what the fuck? You don't go to McDonald's and be like, well, you know, this would be better if they did this. So you might do that, but you're still going to go back.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to the McDonald's employee going, you know, this would be a lot better if you...
A Big Mac could use some avocado.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're like, next. You know.
Sir, there's a line.
You're holding up the line. Don't hold up the line.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, that joke. Have you thought about, instead, look at Mike. Did you listen to the joke? Sure. Thanks for the tag. I might be able to work that in, but it's not like when people, they hear your joke or your song, and immediately they just don't know what you're trying to do. Or it's like, right. Do you know what I'm trying to do with all this? Like, it's like someone, hey, nice song. Have you thought about rapping a little bit? And it's just like, have you heard anything else I've done? Do you know what I'm trying to?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It can be painful, but also it's worth it when you're on stage and you execute it.
Oh my God. Yeah. What of is course. It?
Being a front man, like, mm-hmm. Again, I've seen you. You do your thing, and like again, we're both dudes been on stage holding the microphone. I don't really have a question about this. Just want to, you being a front man, do you feel the pressure? Like, because you're the front man. Some bands have singers, but it's like there's an obvious front man that's like this guitar player with a lot of personality, mm-hmm. might chat or say something between. But no, that's you, through and through, and. I don't know. Just what's it like being a front man? Like, you got all these guys. You got these guys playing the tunes.
Oh sure, yeah. And by the way, I'm very lucky to have all of them behind me. You know, it certainly helps having kind of a team behind you or a small army or
whatever.
It
is a team.
Absolutely,
it is a team.
And you know, teams don't always get along, but at the end of the day, you are a team. Being a front man. I mean, I think of myself as a singer first, I guess, and then, well, now I have to deliver these songs to the audience. I like it. I grew up watching, how do I put this? I was inspired by people that were kind of showmen, but that were also really serious about their art. Mm. So, you know, I like trying to get the crowd involved. I love it when I can get someone who isn't paying attention to pay attention. Like, I will single them out, and I won't call them out, but I'll just look at them for a long time. Or I'll even mimic what they're doing. And in fact, I did this at
comics do the same fucking thing. They're kind of like, everyone's enjoying this, but what is with that sour look on your face? Why are you here? And it kind of, goes through your head. It's kind of like everyone's having a good time around you.
Right.
But you're not.
Right.
I don't know. Why'd you even come here? I can directly address that if I wanted to. If I want to take a detour on my set and talk to that, which I rarely do. But you, it's like, well, I'm not going to take 2 minutes between a song and address this one person. But
no, that's embarrassing for them, you know.
Yeah, and, you don't
and
also,
yeah, and it takes, you know, it kind of derails the momentum of the show. But if you can find a way to at least make eye contact, and then when they do, then acknowledge them somehow. Like we were playing a show not long ago, and this girl, she had her arms crossed the whole time and looking down at the stage.
Oh, the arms crossed. Yeah.
But
telltale sign.
But she was with a bunch of people that were liking it, and I couldn't tell. I just wanted to see. And so all I did, she finally made eye contact, and I looked at her, and this is in the middle of a song. I just crossed my arms, kind of cocked my head, and she went, "Oh my God." And she didn't realize she was doing it.
Oh my God.
And then
that is.
She almost looked at me like apologetically, like, "No, I really am liking it. I just like to stand with my arms crossed."
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, okay, yeah.
Which, to be fair, sometimes I do too.
It's a great nonverbal like communication that you can make with the crowd. And I, you know, that's a good connection that you made.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I like about bands with the, not every band needs one or can have one, but that's one thing I like about a band with a singer, a dedicated singer. That, you know, has, you know, going, walking around, jumping around, singing, you know, non-verbally mostly, you know, minus the lyrics you're singing, but like connecting with the crowd. One thing I hate about some bands, and there's plenty of bands that, you know, I love that do this, where I'm just like, hey, it'd be nice, the beginning of your set, you know, anyone in the band, we know who you are, but just be like, hey guys, we're... You get automatic applause break if you say, "Hey guys, we're blah 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 from wherever. We know who you are. Your name, you know, you're the headlining band. Just say that and then go into your first song. I get it. You might be like artist and mysterious, but we know who you are. You're not playing behind a curtain." Mm-hmm. But when I sometimes hate it when the only time you hear anyone in the band speak to the crowd is like at the end of the set or like, "This is our last song. Thanks for coming out." I'm like, "Thank you for saying that." But it'd just be nice if, I'm not saying you have to interact with the crowd. That's not what we paid for. We paid to see you play music. But if you could just not, it's almost like they act like we're not here.
Right, right.
But that's what I like about bands with dedicated frontmen is like the connection is palpable. Because you're the front man.
Right.
Or, you know, there's like someone singing and the guitar player is like the guy that kind of speaks during the songs. And, you know, some people can speak too much during the song.
Yeah,
but
I don't really care for that.
No, that's fine. Like, but the presence is known, the connection's made. Like, you're the front man, this is, you know, and you're having fun up there. Some bands are more serious with their music and everything, but sometimes just be nice if you just started off by saying who you were, because we love that. Like, we're here for you, we're going to cheer, and you go into it. But it's just something about some bands that seem so disconnected from the audience. And I get it. They're serious musicians. And, you know, we're there. We paid. We get it. But sometimes it'd just be nice to acknowledge that you're publicly performing for strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Just acknowledge that we're here.
Right.
Like, I think part of the ticket, you know, 60 cents of that is for you to say, "Hey, guys, thanks for coming out," at the beginning of the set. Not at the end. We stuck around to the end. We're here. Right. We paid for you. But... And I get it. I don't need you to talk to the audience or anything. I'm not saying that, you know, because I've saw at a Warped Tour Anti-Flag, and I felt like the singer, Justin Sane, I swear he gave like a 10-minute lecture about Bush. I'm just like, I get it. I get it. We love you. Play a song, goddammit. This is Warped Tour. Time is of the essence.
Yeah, those sets are short at Warped Tour.
I don't need
too.
A college lecture.
Right.
You know, if I...
There's a fine line there. You know, people can go on too long. I've seen it both ways. You know, a band like Nine Inch Nails, as we mentioned before.
Yeah, I would not expect Trent Reznor to...
No, he says one thing towards the end and that's it. And that's great because there's so much production going on. There's so much thought put into that show. You don't need him to talk.
Yeah.
You know, just a little acknowledgement at the end. But that's also Nine Inch fucking Nails.
Yes.
You know. And then I've seen it the other way, where between every song... whoever is holding the microphone is babbling away and people are tuning and, you know, there's the rim shot and it's just like, look, if it's supposed to be a fun kind of light show,
ska
sure.
Band. If you're a ska band, crack wise, my friend.
Yeah, if that's the vibe you're going for, then that's great. However, I'm not here to hear you talk, you know. I want to hear the music. But yes, I agree, some knowledge would be good, and knowing what to say in a simple, quick way is super effective, or can be super effective.
Yeah, it's just me being someone that talks on stage. I understand that it'd be nice to hear a sentence every once in a while. Unless you're just blazing through songs and everybody's having a great time, that's fine.
Sure, just, that's the other thing too. You bring up a good point. If you are just song, there's no room and everybody's into
totally
it.
Totally fine.
If there is, you know, as you know, 10 seconds of silence on stage is an eternity.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the worst. Yeah. Yes. So,
and that's when it's fine. Like, hey, anybody in the band, just say something.
If a band ends a song and it's silent, you get the woo, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And then they're looking at each other like, oh my fucking God, do something.
That's when I think anyone in the band, just say something. Yeah. Just be like, hey, you guys got a Quiznos around here? Or just something non sequitur, just to break the weird silent tension that's building. I get it. You got a tune or something like that. You got to, you know, pick something here and there. Totally fine. I get it. But yes, sometimes just, I think I've paid enough, you know, cover charges to have this opinion.
No, I agree. Yeah.
And I bought enough merchandise to be like, hey, bands, can you not be a little closed off?
Or, and you've been on the other side of the microphone that, as we just talked about, you know that, hey, keep them engaged one way or the other.
Keep the momentum.
Yes.
And it can be as bad as like a comic, even at an open mic, just flipping through their notebook. Like, all right, the worst thing I fucking hate is like, all right, what else can I do? I'm just like, you have fucking 5 minutes at this shit ass open mic. You should know what else you have.
Right.
Just write it the fuck down. Or you know what? Crowd work it. Don't tell us you don't have anything prepared. Yeah. But
I've seen that. I've seen these comics do that.
It's worse on a show. At an open mic, you can't judge too harshly because it's an open mic, and unfortunately comics have to practice to the public.
Of course.
You guys can have a cool space here and perfect these songs and, you know, execute them on it when it really matters. And that's one thing I've always been envious. You can practice your jokes all day long in a mirror, but you don't know exactly, like, hell, I'll type out jokes on a Word document, but how I type is not how I talk on stage. And so I have to go to an open mic and realize, oh, cut out 60% of this because it's just filler. Get to the funny, idiot. Like, keep going. And then, you know, it's a process. But that's what sucks about comedy is we have to practice to people at an open mic. Or if you're at a big enough level and you know what you're doing, you can throw in new jokes on your headlining weekends. But sadly, I'm not at that point. But,
well, if I can interject there, yes, you're right. We can sit here in this room and you know, drill songs and try to come up with the best version of it. But it's not until we get on stage and have other people hear it.
Yeah, true.
You know, and that, and again, that is all so subjective.
I mean, you know how the song goes from start to finish,
right,
but you still don't know how the audience will react.
Yeah.
Which I can only imagine, you know, the anticipation or the trepidation that might come with that. It's like, all right, we got this new song.
Oh, man, it's exciting.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah.
But yes, I mean, of course, you know, and then there's any artist, I don't care what anybody says, any artist is going to have some doubt here and there. But what makes you an artist is that you persevere and you just keep going, you know. But certainly there have been songs, I mean, we've played more songs live than we've recorded, and some of them, you know, listen, if you find them on YouTube or if somebody's got a little recording, good for you. I would love to hear those things because I've probably forgotten about them, you know. But you kind of see like, oh, well, this song seems to work and we all like it. I mean, we like everything we write in the moment, but probably like you know, you write a joke and you're like, this is the best joke I've ever written. 6 months later, you're like, what was that, you know? But once you put it out, it's forever.
Yeah.
And you got to stand behind it. So,
man, what you were talking about, it brought something up to me, which, Secret of Boris covers, you do a tribute set to Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
And I will try to further correct the tribute thing, but y'all do cover a song, which I fucking love. You cover Salt-N-Pepa's Push It. I'm curious as to how that came about. And I fucking love it. And I've shown people, there's maybe like two live videos of that. How did that come about? And it fucking works. I love it. And anytime I see y'all live and you play it, I'm like, this just fits so well with the style of music you play. How did that decision come about?
Yeah, okay.
To cover that great song. And I think it fits through y'all musically amazingly well.
So we actually haven't done that in many years. Mm. That was actually
I feel lucky to have seen it you know, the times I have.
That was actually a lame thing when we were still lame. So what happened with that was James McWilliams, who was the sound guy at Curtain Club for a long, long, long time.
Rest in peace, Curtain Club.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Curtain Club. Oh my God. Yes. Love you. Love you, James. Love you, Doug. Love you, Chad. I can't. No. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I love you all. James McWilliams came up with this idea and he goes, this was before tribute bands were really, you know, the thing or popular. People weren't really doing them. You had Back in Black. I guess they've been around forever. Mm. But that was it. And, you know, none of us were really paying attention to that. And he said, I want to do something cool on Thursday nights where everyone just kind of does cover versions. I went, okay. So we decided, well, let's not pick a band. And by the way, in Lame for a long time, there were six of us. Everyone gets one song.
Okay.
And everyone gets one veto.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah.
So you get one. So you get two votes. Like, here are my two songs. And then everyone has the chance to go, I'm not doing that. I guess I'll do that one because it's not as
I'm going to wear a hood if we cover that.
Right. So it was our guitar player at the time, PJ's idea to do Push It. He goes, and to be honest, I never really listened to that song. He goes, you know that song, Push It? This is how he taught you. Real motto. You know that song, Push It by Salt and Pepper? I was like, you mean What a Man? He goes, no.
Yeah.
I said, oh, they had another song. I mean, of course. But he goes, I went, nope, I don't know that. Hmm. So finally I looked it up and was like, this is not even a song. But that was his vote. And he didn't have a second vote. So we're like, well, fuck, I guess that's what we're doing. So I listened to that song a bunch of times and went, dun, dun, dun. Well, that's fun. Yeah. And then, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, you know what?
If it really comes together when it hits that riff.
Right. Yeah. It's like, on guitar, that could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what struck out to me the first time. I think I didn't know y'all did it until I was seeing y'all live. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I just stood there and you'll just hear in the riffs.
Right.
Because it translates to like metal guitar so well.
Sure.
I love it.
A lot of pop music. Continue. No. A lot of pop music. And a lot of music in general lends itself to heavy guitar. You know, you've seen the covers that have come out, the heavy covers that have come out in the last 20 years, even 25 years, you know, some of them just flow really well. And, you know, the only thing was the lyrics, of course, don't really represent anything else we do, but we took it seriously in a fun way. It's like, all right, if we're going to do this, we're going to make it our own song.
Yeah.
And by the way,
and that's what I love about a good cover.
Right.
You make it your own.
Make it your own. I think it's a complete waste of time to cover a song the same way it was done before.
Oh, I hate that.
Just with possibly, a better recording because it's newer. I mean, you know.
Like a country artist covering a country song. Cool. Yeah. Maybe it's faster or something. But I'm like, I like it when, especially, you know, Secret of Boris, alt, new metal band, covers a Salt and Pepper song. Like that, I fucking like. You know, like ska bands have, you know, a firm, you know, grasp on covering anything, and it's like, all right, fun.
Oh yeah,
you have entire the Me First and Gimme Gimmes have made a, you know, a side career out of that alone. But I love when people really reach into different genres, and like the Deftones cover of the Sade song.
Sade, yeah.
I'm like, great. Oh shit, like that's I fucking love that, and that's what really stood out to me when I heard that. Like, hear the riffs, and I was just like, what are these guys doing? And then you. Being a front man, have to go up and you're singing these lyrics by Salt and Pepper to
these three females.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to do all the parts.
All the parts. All the parts. Not just one. No, all the parts. And then, you know, with a little swagger in there, but, you know, coming through a male voice, but just fucking owning it.
Yeah.
And, you know, having your team behind you.
Listen, man, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Yes. And that's, I know, what's funny is I was there, I want to say maybe it was Curtain Club. Where, like, I hosted in between. And Nick Rash was like, I fucking hate this. I'm like, okay, Mr. No Fun, I'm going to go enjoy this. Because he'd probably seen it plenty of times. Yeah. And maybe it just wasn't his thing. But I'm like, oh, dude, I can respect. Again, going through, I love it when a band goes, you know, arm stretches out super far to a different genre, totally unexpected cover. Mm-hmm. And oh my, I can only imagine. I'm pretty sure there's other people that are just like, they're there, they like the music, they like the bands on the lineup, and then they've never heard that before, and they're kind of like blown the fuck away like I was. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of other people.
There were, actually. It was kind of funny, like, after a while, people would show up to the show, and I'm like, oh, cool, I'm so glad you're here. Then, are y'all gonna do Push It? I'm like, well, maybe. We're also gonna do another 40 minutes of original stuff. Oh, that's cool, but you're gonna do Push It? Yeah. Like, all right. Well,
that's the dangerous territory. Right. I mean, hey, it worked out fine for Limp Bizkit.
It certainly did. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I remember y'all, I was here and y'all are in a, you know, it was in y'all's practice space, and I was like, guys, if you, it was just like fresh off of me seeing that live. I was like, if you guys just get the money together and fucking Limp Bizkit faith that, I think that, I'm pretty sure, well, there's some talks about, like, guys, what if we actually recorded this and got the rights to do it? That could set you into, I don't know, a different stratosphere. Yeah, it's risky, and you might only be known by that.
Right.
But would it be, one, has that conversation happened? And two, is, you know, would it be worth that risk?
There is a demo floating out there somewhere that I don't even know if I have a copy of it anymore. But we did actually track it in a studio.
Yeah.
But by that point, we were kind of on to other things. I don't know. Maybe one deal.
I think there's still, like, okay, the people that know you, seen the band, people like me, they know it exists.
Right.
But there's still a much bigger world out there.
Well,
that's
true.
That doesn't know it exists. And it's still... I don't know of another band that's covered it. Possibly, fucking maybe Five Finger Death Punch has fucked it up. I don't know. I hate that band, and their covers are atrocious. But I've always thought that's like, I don't know, it's a risk. I don't know, maybe we're taking. Again, that's me, the ignorant comic talking.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we also covered AHA, you know, Take on Me for a long time, and I, you know, we did that for years, and then somebody goes, "Have you seen the Family Guy episode?" I went, "What?" You know, it's like the last time I cover. Like, oh, okay, you're just associating that. That's cool. And then I think it was a punk band or a ska band also did it. Was it like
probably
Real Big Fish or something?
Probably Me First in the Gimme Gimmes.
Okay.
I assume every ska cover is just Me First in the Gimme Gimmes.
It might actually be Real Big Fish, which I fucking love Real Big Fish.
Oh, same.
But I don't know. Anyway, so we did that, and then we did Push It, and from that same era, I mean, we did a country song. We did... an Alice in Chains song, we did them Bones, and we kind of made our, we tried to do our best to make everything our own. And then one of the guys was like, let's do Supercharger Heaven from White Zombie. But there's only so much we could do with that. So we played that one pretty straight, except I was up there babbling fake Latin, you know. I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah! But it was a good time. So, you know, and then after that, you know, we did a version of Tears for Fears, shit.
I'm the worst guy to ask about time of music and genre.
Head Over Heels. So we haven't done a cover in a long time, but, you know, we still have them in the back catalog. Maybe we'll put out an EP one day. Who knows?
And it would cost some money, I assume. I don't know how the industry works like that, but... to put out a cover thing.
Sure.
But fuck, man, if it hasn't worked for some bands. And I think, have y'all, what's touring like for you guys? I know it's hard for any band. And I know there's like a fucking hurdle to fucking live life on the road. What's like, you know, what's touring like for y'all when it happens?
Well, we're not really touring right now. So what happened was, let's go back to what I was saying about the two song Make It Out and Don't Miss the Love, and then we recorded three, and then COVID happened. Well, that ended up being the EP, The Reason and the Remedy, kind of out of a God, we haven't put anything out in a while, and we're waiting. Why wait for another record? And I was constantly writing during COVID, and you know, yes, that time period was terrible for so many reasons, and so many people, you know, lost loved ones, lost their lives, and all that stuff, and you know, it was awful. But there was nothing else to do except just be creative if you were inspired, and luckily I was. So after a while, I went, oh my God, we have, I don't know, 25, 30 songs now, plus these three that are sitting here. How are we ever going to pare this down? So I said,
double album.
Double, yeah, that, which is super popular in 2023, yes.
Oh, were you writing two? Yeah, asshole.
That's right.
Now listen to fucking
buy it the
and a half.
First week at Best Buy. It's discounted. You know, yeah, those things don't exist anymore. So, you know, we were doing a show in Houston, and on the way down, my drummer Ryan and I were riding down. I said, all right, man, I got to talk to you about something. What do you think about this idea of packaging these songs up and just putting out an EP? And then that gives us room for the next thing. You know, his first response was, which it usually is when I have an idea. Okay, I'll wait. And
I'm not dismissing it right now.
Right.
But I'm also leaving it open that
yeah,
I'm open
I'm
to.
I'm not
it.
Also super jazzed about it.
It's a great, it's a good noise that translates yeah. into maybe.
It's like, it's not the worst idea you've ever had. So we get down to the show, and I said, all right, well, we talked about it. And we kind of tabled it as when we get to the show, we'll talk to everybody and see what they say. So we rounded everybody up before we played, and I presented the idea, and the immediate response was, oh, fuck yeah, let's do that. I went, oh, shit, well, that was easy. I wish everybody then could be like that. So we put it out. We did our album release party. You don't call it a CD release party anymore. You
album.
Know, you know, yeah. Album release party. And then we weren't really interested in going to play a bunch of shows based off of it, because we wanted to get to the next thing. We were excited about the next record because it had been so long. So right now, and then again, that took a year of writing and then really a year of recording. We didn't record for a year, but it took a year to get the record done about that. And then to put it out and deciding, okay, how are we gonna go about this? Because, you know, I'm old school. I'm an album guy. I love albums. But again, we're in 2023 now. This is 2022 when we were writing it and recording it. So we finally decided, like, no, every song in this record is really good. And if we just dump it, a lot of these songs are going to be lost. So that's why at the beginning of the year, we put out Room 101. And then recently, as we talked about, we put out This Is What We Get. And we're going to keep doing that. And then I would say here coming up, though, we're going to start looking at doing some runs through Texas and going to Houston, going to Austin, San Antonio, even venturing out to Shreveport and Little Rock, places that are attainable that we can get back to fairly easily. Because I think it's a big misstep to go out for 6 weeks if you can't go back in another 6 months and do that 6 weeks again. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so you go play a show in, let's say, I don't know, Denver. Okay, well, that's cool. And maybe, hopefully, some people were there and they really like it. Well, when are you going to make it back there? Are you do you just tour all the time? Because if you do, then you can do that. We don't. So we got to do this strategically. And I love playing live. I love playing live so much. I can never decide. Is it the creative process? Is it being in the studio recording, or is it playing live? It ebbs and flows. I love it all. But I don't love driving a million miles to play to no one if we're not going to go back and try to recapture that. I don't mind playing to no one if we can keep doing it and build that following. So, long-winded answer to your question. We're not touring at the moment, but things are in the works to go present this record to people.
You want to make it worth it, like, yes, more calculated about it.
Be strategic. Yeah. I mean, things are so expensive now, and
oh yeah,
you know, it's fun being on the road. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we all regress back into, you know, we're all 13 years old. It's so much fun.
With driver's licenses.
Yeah.
And booze.
And booze, yes. But when the show is a bomb, that's a drag. So you have to be able to go back and be like, okay, that one wasn't great. However, we'll get them next time. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. All right, we're almost at an hour. I guess we can wrap up with whatever, however you can put a bow on this one. God, it's been a great time. What kind of whiskey are we drinking? That ain't bad.
This is Tully.
Unofficial sponsor, Tully?
Yeah, Tully okay. Muldoon.
All right. Unofficial sponsor of today's podcast.
Well, look, man, what is Breckenridge? Is that English?
I think, to the best of my limited scholarship on it, Scottish.
Oh, okay.
Possibly also English. My cousin Sarah, she, if anything, she's, I think she even works at OU or something like that. She's done the ancestry, like personal. She did just like go to 23andMe. Mm-hmm. She's done the work herself to look up that. That's on my mom's side. But also Breckenridge, so that doesn't really help. But on my dad's side, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But just looking, because there's like a Breckenridge and like the random Scotsman I've come across, I'm just kind of like, hey, can you answer this question for me?
Right.
I think it's Scottish and or English. Mm-hmm. Same island. Doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, it kind of matters. But if you watch Braveheart, it matters.
I know. Yeah. I know it matters to some people. Me, I don't care. It's all from the same geographic. I'm a fan of geography. I know it can matter to people. Sure. But I'm like, same. Same island.
Look, man, my first name is Cameron. My last name is Taylor. They're both Scottish clans with a C.
Okay. So I have a cousin named with your name, Cameron Taylor.
Is that right?
But he's not blood related. Mm-hmm. His granddad, Gene, he was my granddad since I was born, but like a step granddad or whatever. So not blood. Didn't know that about Taylor.
That's right.
Okay. But I'm pretty sure, because
this is Irish whiskey, so none of this matters that we just talked about.
As far as I know, I'm Irish and Scottish, which are the two, I think, coolest parts of Europe. And there's always been a part of me that wants to go to Ireland and Scotland. I think of them as the same places. I've never been offended by the sound of bagpipes.
Oh,
or
love it.
Or Irish jigs.
Love it.
I've always... I want to know if there's like a true Irish bar, because what offends me as a, let's say, Irishman, somewhat half Irishman, is there's these bars that have like an Irish ass name, but nothing in there is Irish. I'm just walk in there and Katy Perry's playing. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know what? Happy hour, play whatever. But I'm like, I want to see a couple of old, where are the traditional Irish
you know, hymns that, you know, everybody sings and they cheers.
I would love to go. I will drive from Arlington to where the fuck ever the real Irish bar is, and I will go. I'll keep my fucking mouth shut. I'll pay my dues, and I will listen to what these old drunken Irish assholes have to say, and I will want to learn these Irish drinking songs.
Right.
Because there's a live version of Old Triangle by the Dubliners.
Oh, yeah.
It's the live version
that
really gets... I love any recorded version I've heard, but I hear that, and it's just all a cappella, and it's, what's his name? Something Kelly, obviously.
Sure.
And he's just, he starts singing, and eventually there's some backing vocals by the rest of the band, and just something about that just haunts me.
Oh, it's so great. And the Dubliners doing Rocky Road to Dublin.
Oh.
It's fantastic. And
it makes me not want to hear like the Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys version. Just cause I'm like, and I love those bands, but I'm just like,
They're good, but give me the Dubliners version. And by the way, you know, that song was featured in, what was that, Sherlock Holmes movie by Guy Ritchie? Mm. So good. And then I looked it up and I listened to it all the way through, and then at the end they start clapping. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't realize this was live.
Oh yeah.
And it's amazing. It's so good.
One band that I think really doesn't get any play, especially, you know, since St. Patrick's Day just came and went. Ever heard Gaelic Storm?
No.
It's just like an...
I feel like I should, though.
Irish as fuck. Band. I wouldn't even say punk, but just like the feeling, just because of the kind of songs they're playing.
Right.
With all the Irish instruments and all that. It almost feels like they could easily open up for Flogging Molly, mm-hmm. but they're not a punk band, but just like the, you know, the fiddles and all that. Mm-hmm. It's good. And yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys can, it's St. Patrick's Day, listen to your, you know, basic bullshit. But Gaelic Storm, great name. It almost sounds like a fucking possible Irish metal band, but no, they're just playing some good old, you know, Irish tunes.
Right.
And, that's a band I've,
okay.
Thanks to Spotify suggested artists. You know, that's how I came upon them.
Nice.
This whiskey is good.
It is.
All right. I do have to drive to another podcast after this.
Indeed. So,
but I ate dinner before this, so
I'll you're good. Fine. You're good.
Yeah. So should we end on a rendition of "Old Triangle"? I just remembered the first lyrics. A hungry feeling. All right, anyways, no.
That'll work. And then I don't know that one, but I can do it. Now in the merry month of May, in my home a star to welcome to the tunes of whatever broken hearted salute the father dear. Now, if you get fined for that, sorry, he just edited.
Let's just you know what? Fuck practice tonight. I'm sorry. Next podcast interview. Let's just get fucking tanked and invent Irish songs. And when the rest of the band pours in here for practice tonight, I'd be like, sorry, guys.
Right.
We're just making up Irish shit.
Now, you guys can you can leave or you can stand over there. It's fine.
Just, somebody get just behind the drum kit and just follow along. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can record that and perfect. Then immediately delete it.
So what's next up for you as far as comic stuff goes? Do you have a show coming
I got
up?
Some shows over the weekend. I'm doing a show at a brewery because that's what I have to do.
What brewery?
It's called False Idol.
Okay.
Although this podcast will be uploaded after that show has happened, but I don't mind. So I'm doing that because brewery shows are a thing. Mm-hmm. That's what's so funny. I've produced shows at a brewery before. Sometimes they can be done right, you know, in a place that is conducive acoustically to a comedy show. Or sometimes I see pictures of like shows at breweries and the stage, or what little of a stage there is literally in front of these massive vats. And all I can think of is like, that has to sound like shit.
Yeah, right.
Which I ask comics and they're like, yeah, the sound is terrible. I'm just like, so did nobody, you know, adult up and, you know, be like, hey, this could be better over here, there, whatever. So we'll see. Never done a show here before. And then this is Friday. And then after that, I'm going to Dallas Comedy Club to do a crowd work show, which I've done before. It's fun. It's a weird muscle to work out comedically because I don't ever really do crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
I have a closer where I ask somebody, you know, a question that, you know, I bring up doing my closing bit, but I don't like derailing my set by doing crowd work. So I'm like, I wanted all these open mics and wasted all this time or spent all this time productively maybe to work out this material. I don't want to spend any time on you, Mr. Talky McTalkerson, that can't shut up and nobody at the venue is doing anything about it. But I do like that there's a dedicated crowd work show that we can do because it's weird because, you know, he might get some material from it, but it also just depends. It also helps to watch the comics before you to see who they've talked to or not talked to. So you know to maybe go back to this person because they might say some weird funny shit or
avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. And talk to people who haven't been
gestured
at, you know, and asked, you know, your basic ass questions. And then Sunday I'm doing a show at the Harvest Hall in Grapevine, which is in downtown Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be an old train station and now it's just the ritziest fucking place you've ever seen. It's a hotel plus a food court of like, I don't know, like 10 or so. There's like a sit down restaurant and a couple of like walk up places, but the food's phenomenal. And there's a place called, the performance area is called Third Rail. Yeah, get it? Train station. And they have bands there like Friday and Saturday nights. But Sunday, this guy Zach puts on a monthly show. He took a couple months off, but it pays money and drink tickets. And you get, I think, $15 to go to the food court. So it pays dinner, too.
Oh, hard to
beat
that.
And there are much worse ways to spend comedically wise on a Sunday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've done, this will be like the third time I've done the show. And so.
Well, good for you, man. I'm, you've been out a long time. I'm proud of you that you're keeping going and all that.
Oh yeah. I didn't do this all this time to give up.
No shit. I feel the same way.
Which is the easiest path to take, but it's just like, no, I've done this for so long. Also, what kept me going with the podcast, I'm like, I bought this equipment.
Yeah.
I did absolutely nothing with it in 2022, looking at the upload dates, and I'm just like, fuck.
Let's fucking use it. All right,
well, 2023 is young. All right, time to send some messages. And I've always driven around. I'm like, I will go to people, you know, make it as convenient for them as possible and interview them like I did here today.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, ah, fuck, I bought the shit. Might as well, because I'm a comedian. And you got to have a podcast or some different avenue besides. It's not the 90s or the 80s anymore. You can't just go on stage, film it on a VHS,
right,
make copies and mail it to a club,
yeah,
which is well before when I started. But when I started comedy, Facebook needed a college email to get a Facebook.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I've been doing comedy like fucking 14 years or something. So obviously I've been doing great. But like posting jokes on Facebook wasn't a thing when I started. It was still kind of, you know, new. Like social media itself was still kind of new. Of like, oh, like we all didn't have these fucking smartphones that could do halfway decent to really good video plus audio. And you could just upload these clips ad nauseum, which I'm trying to do better at. But I'm like, yeah, I'll do the podcast. And I can't afford a video component, which I don't want to do. I don't want to do the
maybe
video.
Maybe after Sunday you can.
If you have a studio, fucking do video. Make your podcast a talk show, because right, that's what is happening. But until then, I'm cool with the audio. So.
Well.
But I'm a, huh? I don't know what that says.
Oh.
Your handwriting is terrible, my friend.
It's really bad.
You can just tell me what it says. We're getting done anyways. Like the venue? Is that, I don't know what that means. You wrote the word links. I don't know what that means.
Links. Where can we find you?
Oh, well, this
where can we find us?
I go through old Podbean, which when you pay for their services, unofficial sponsor, they upload it. You have to sign up and everything. But Podbean, of course, is its own podcast thing. But they upload it to Apple, Spotify, Pandora, all the things possible.
Right.
And oh yeah, it's out there. Maybe I should start saying that.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
All right. One thing I am going to do, I'll do it after I hit stop. I got to start taking pictures of the people.
Oh, sure.
People love pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. People love pictures. But and since there's no video component, I want some proof that I'm not talking to some AI bot. I don't think anybody's assuming that.
I don't think that anybody would pay for this AI bot.
Especially if they're listening to an audio-only podcast on this $400 packaged equipment. They don't.
There you go.
I probably don't know how to program something like that.
Right.
But Cameron, my man, it's been fun.
Yeah,
I kind of wish this could go on for another hour, but I have something else to do, and you have a band to
practice with. Not unfortunately. But yes, I would love to talk to you for another hour. We'll do it again.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll do it here at a Pro Rehearsal. Thank you, Pro Rehearsal, for having us here again, another unofficial sponsor. And
by the way, please find us on all the things at Cedar Boards. So if you just go to the / Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, sort of, any of those things, and and Spotify and Apple and whatever streaming service you use, we will, and YouTube
and all see them things live.
See
and
us
buy
live.
Buy some merch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully the venue won't be taking a cut.
I wanted to
get into that, but we don't have to. There's plenty of people talking about that now. And I want Taylor Swift to chime in, because only she can fix it.
Listen, she's awesome at that stuff. I love the fact that she is kind of rude.
Hey, Robert Smith did some shit about Ticketmaster fees.
Oh, my God,
so
he is another one of my heroes.
So,
not that Taylor Swift is my hero, but I do like what she's doing. But Robert Smith is an actual hero of mine. And the fact that he kind of went to war with them a little bit is awesome.
Eddie vetted that shit.
Yeah, he did. Successfully. Yeah. I mean, listen... So that's great, and keep looking out for the next song and the next video, and thank you guys so much for your support, and Brian, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man, and keep watch for that Secret of Boris album, Don't Call Us Lame. All right. That's your title, buddy. All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, man.